Today we continue in a sermon series called Before Amen. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And last week we began by recognizing that the Lord's Prayer was how Jesus wanted us to learn how to pray. He wanted us not only to learn the words, but he also wanted us to understand the purpose and the meaning behind the words. We recognize that if you broke down the Lord's Prayer, you can break it down into three sections. The opening section is how Jesus shows praise to God. The second section, which is actually quite brief, is an understanding of the petition, how we ask God for what we need. And the third section is a section based in penitence or penance. It's actually seeking forgiveness or grace, seeking and offering forgiveness and grace. Last week, we looked at the praise portion. We talked about a God that handles the things that are bigger than we are, the God-shaped problems in our lives. This week, we will be looking at the petition aspect of our prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That's how Jesus put it. And it's quite brief, but it encapsulates everything that Jesus wants us to know about our prayer to God and how we should make petition to God. But how does it translate today? I was thinking about it, and all I could think about is if you tell people that you're going to be giving them daily bread, the first thing they'll tell you is simply this: I'm gluten-free. And I don't eat carbs. What do you do when you're offering daily bread to a society that has moved beyond bread? What happens when what God gives us is not enough? It's not good enough. What happens to our petition when we have everything we need? This is the problem in our society when it comes to prayer. If prayer is only about our God-sized problems, then we will limit God to just a small portion of our lives. We will deal with God like a 911 phone call. And that's all we will have. Is God becomes important to us in case of an emergency. You know those pictures, you have the fire extinguisher under glass and it says, in case of emergency, break glass. That's the prayer life of most people in today's world. If they have an emergency, they become faithful. If you are in control of your life, then you have little need. And without need, you have very little reason to go to God or to go to anyone else. We live in a lonely world because we are in control of most aspects of our world. But God wants to be involved in our lives. You see, when we become in control of everything, then we have no need for God, and we have no need for each other. We can be alone in the universe without need. God, however, is calling us to allow God to be in control. God wants to lead us. God wants to be a daily part of our lives. So today I want to work just a little bit to help you reimagine, give us this day our daily bread, in a way that doesn't involve bread, but involves God becoming a daily part of our lives. In a world of affluence, God wants charge of more than just your crisis. God wants to walk with you daily. And unfortunately, there's only one word that describes what daily bread means to us in today's world. enough. There's two ways of looking at enough. One is the way that the ancient Christians looked at it. They lived in a world of continual need. They didn't know if their crops would actually fail or succeed. Daily bread was a real crisis in their daily lives. For us, bread is not something you make. Bread is something you buy, usually for under 99 cents a loaf. We don't look at daily bread as a crisis. In fact, the reason that most of us are going low carb and gluten free is because we have more than enough. Our problem isn't whether we get enough to eat. Our problem is when to say when. We have to learn how to say enough, not to ask God to give us enough. You see, give us this day our daily bread can be used to say, give to us what we need this day. But we should not forget that it also could be used as a way of saying to God, help us to be satisfied with what we have received from you. In fact, the most radical obedience that a Christian can hold today is to say enough to what the world offers. We are used to not relying for God to provide. So we must get used to looking to God to tell us how much is enough. Folks, we have usually too much in our lives. And our biggest problem in today's world for the 21st century American is to say no to all that is available to us. We have enough. The problem is how do we say enough is enough? How do we say no to what the world wants to offer to us? Spend a little bit of time focusing on bread, and with a communion service to come, I want to be brief in my comments today. I want to look at another aspect of the daily bread statement that Jesus makes. Give us this day our daily bread. The one is bread. The one word is bread. The other word that's going to look at this in, that we're going to look at today is daily. What does it mean to have enough today? You see, most of us live our lives in fear of tomorrow. It's amazing that with the abundance that we have, everyone's worried about when we will run out of that abundance. You see, intuitively, we know that this isn't normal. This isn't what traditionally happens in the world. America is an anomaly, not the normal way of doing business in the world. You see, we have grocery stores that are filled every day. And we go and we get whatever we want. We haven't been in need, many of us, ever in our lives. Most of us have filled fridges and freezers. The idea of daily bread doesn't seem to have meaning in the same way. And many of us are concerned that we're behind if we haven't saved enough for tomorrow. So the question in my house isn't whether we have enough TP and milk. It's whether I've opened the last package of TP and if I have an extra gallon still in the fridge. You get what I'm saying? We're always planning for tomorrow. And many times we live in tomorrow. Living in tomorrow usually brings us to the place of worry. Now, I'm a bit of an expert in worry. Not because I've studied it, but because I live it. You see, some people just grow up in a world where they're always concerned about what happens next. I set my preaching schedule months in advance. And sometimes as I begin to plan months in advance, I surprise myself that we're not actually in October. And I have to remind myself that we just began August because, you see, I'm already planning October. That's what happens when we get too far ahead of ourselves. We start looking at tomorrow's calendar as we begin today, and we don't simply walk with Jesus. This causes us to look beyond the small things in life. Because of our abundance, because we have so much that we already know is there, we tend to live in tomorrow. We spend our lives planning, protecting, and projecting into our futures. And oftentimes, living a life for tomorrow means that we never actually live today. You see, God is very clear with us. Jesus was very clear with his disciples and his followers that he wants us to live today and to allow tomorrow to handle itself. Shortly after Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he shared with those who were there his feelings about worry and about worrying particularly about tomorrow. He told them to seek first the kingdom of God, which harkens back to the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, all the things that you need for your daily bread. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, he taught. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus wanted us to focus on the daily work that was there. Now let me tell you how the daily life can actually free you. Most times we're too busy worrying about tomorrow to spend time with people today. Have you ever found yourself too busy preparing for something tomorrow to spend time with people today? Have you ever put off someone in need today because you had something that you had to get ready to do tomorrow? Jesus lived his life always present with people. Now, one of the words that we use for God is the word omnipresent. That God is always with us in the moment. This understanding of being present and in the moment is something that many 21st century Westerners are actually having a difficult time doing. Have you ever sat down to dinner with a family member, a friend, or a spouse and realized that the person wasn't present with you? That their mind was somewhere else? That their ideas were floating in their head and they were barely listening? See, that never happens for me. But every once in a while, my wife thinks that it's happening. Actually, she knows that it's happening. She knows when the wheels go in my brain because smoke starts to come out of my ears. And what she'll tell me, she'll say this. She'll say, did you hear what I just told you? Usually I can cover. And I can quote what she said, but I can't understand what I quoted. Because when we're aloof, when we're not present, we hear and we see everything, but it never makes its way into our heart. Jesus wants us to be present and to deal with the daily work so that we can allow the things that we encounter and engage in to make its way into our heart. So instead of simply driving by the beggar on the street, or the child who's lost a parent, or the person who's grieving, or a person who's celebrating, so that instead of just walking on by, we can stop and celebrate with them. Help them to find their missing parent. Give assistance to a person in need. Or simply hold someone's hand and give them 5 or 10 minutes just to listen. You see, when we're living in tomorrow, we never embrace today. If the church can learn one thing about daily bread, and remember, it's maybe a little different than it was then, but the 21st century American church can learn that we must live in the now to engage God's people and the people of the world today, and we also must courageously know when to say when. Folks, we have too much. And I'm not saying this in a way that's a political statement. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, vote Green Party at the end of the sermon or anything like this. This is about me and you. This isn't about a political thing. This is about knowing that in today's world, we are a people of extravagant abundance. We throw away more food than most places have to eat. We have more in our cupboards than some nations have in their stores. And so when we pray to God, give us this day our daily bread, part of it needs to pull back and to know that daily bread might be to trust in God for tomorrow and to live in God today. It'll help us color our prayer. As when we pray for each other and pray for ourselves, it may help us to simply say, Lord, walk with me today. Help me to see what you see, to feel what you feel, and to know that in you I have all that I need. In a few moments, we're going to gather around the communion table. It's a special opportunity for the church, and it's special for one specific reason. Communion simply means communion. It's community together. We are in community with God and with each other. At the communion table, that is reflected. We stand together, and we stand with God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. A church that gathers around the communion table recognizes that we are one in Christ and that the other person is as meaningful as we are. As we gather around the table, I would like for you to remember that God is with us, with you, and with me, even as we are with each other. Let's take a moment and turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we ask your blessing upon our time of worship and our living of life. We ask that you would help us to glorify you in our daily activity, to know when enough is enough, and to give to you our time today. Lord God, we have plans. We have a future that we are always seeking to protect from the difficulties of this world. Help us to learn to focus on the work that we do today. And help us to put our faith and trust in you for all of our tomorrows. Lord God, we ask your blessing upon the community that you are carving out of your people today. Help us to be one with you and with each other. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen. At this time,